What word could be associated with all of those? Sorry? Love indeed, yes. The first one may be slightly abstract, because that's love in tennis, but yeah, puppy love. The love that involves giving the last Rolo, and the love that involves having matching tattoos. Ah, love. What would the world be without love? It is, it's a crazy little thing. It's all around. It lifts us up where we belong. It is all you need. But despite that, love is actually one of the most slippery words in the English language. Love can mean so many different things, can't it? To say I love you might mean I desire you, or I care about you, or I enjoy your company, or you make me feel good, or probably other things as well. So what does it mean to say that the coming of Jesus was the coming of love? Because that's what our fourth candle on our Advent wreath reminded us of. Those of us who've been reading our Advent book, Love Came Down at Christmas, will have been thinking about that since the start of Advent. But we're going to turn this morning to a well-known Christmas passage from Matthew's Gospel, because I think it shows us two ways in which love came down at Christmas, and it also points us to how we can respond to that. So Pam is going to come and read for us from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. It can be found on page 965 of the Pew Bible. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Pam. So, why was the coming of Jesus the coming of love? See if we can work out. I'm going to need a bit of help here, because the first clue is appearing. Is a word. You've got to tell me what this word is that helps us understand why the coming of love. The coming of Jesus was the coming of love. Any thoughts yet? Thoughts? I'll give you another letter. Ollie. Emmanuel. Oh. Well done, Ollie. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So why is that important? What does Emmanuel mean? Crispy. Close. I'll come back to you in a moment. Remember that one. God with us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Jesus, God came to live with us. And that's important for two reasons. It was a great act of love because it meant that God showed us what he's like. I guess it's one of the things that has to be true in any human relationship. If you love someone, you will let them see the real you. You can't really claim to love someone if you keep your real feelings and attitudes hidden behind a mask. Of course, before Jesus came, God wasn't completely unknown, but no one had ever seen God. When Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, God's reply was, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." But with Jesus, all that changed. Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know whether God actually does care about people who are suffering, look at Jesus. If you want to know if God's merciful, look at Jesus. Some of us have been reading that Advent book, and it's reminded us that God's love is perfectly revealed in Jesus. There's a very famous section in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that talks about love being patient and kind, love doesn't envy, and so on. And lots of people have said before, and I think Nick did this at the 6:30 service a while back, you can take out the word love and put in the word Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It is a perfect description of Jesus. In fact, I think it would be fair to say that we only really know what love is when we see it embodied in Jesus. Human love will always have an element of self in it. It's part of being living in a fallen world, being fallen people. But Jesus' love is perfect. And you could go through the Gospels, read through the Gospels, and you'll see each of those things being lived out by Jesus. And in Jesus, we see what God's love is like. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, we can know what God is like. But there's a second thing about Jesus being Emmanuel, which tells us why his coming is the coming of love. And that is that in his love, Jesus entered into all the pain of human life. You see, for God to choose to be born as a human is amazing enough. But Jesus didn't just enter the human race. He actually entered the depths of suffering that people experience. Just think of his birth. Not in a royal palace or anywhere like that, but in a stable. And then think of his life. Misunderstood and rejected by his family. Betrayed by one of his closest friends. Denied by another of his closest friends. Abandoned by everybody. Beaten. Horribly abused. Mocked. Killed. One of the marks of real love is being willing to enter into another person's pain. To actually get alongside them. And Jesus came alongside us in all our pain and suffering of this broken world. And that's important because it means that whatever you go through, God understands because Jesus has been there. Rejection, abuse, bereavement, Jesus has been there. So when you're in the depths and cry out to God, you can know that God understands. And that's love. So there are two ways in which Jesus being Emmanuel shows us that his coming was the coming of love to earth. Let's try another word. Crispy. Jesus, let's see if you're right. Very good. I guess we almost pass over it because it is the name we always use. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. So why is that so important? Why does that show us about, what does that show us about love? What does the name Jesus mean? Any ideas? Ollie, you knew on Thursday, because I remember. anybody else? Anybody? You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means savior. So you see, in Jesus, we see what God is like. We see love embodied. In Jesus, we see that God understands all that we go through. But of course, the downside to some of that is that in Jesus, we see just how far short we fall. Jesus' absolute goodness shows up our sin. Now think about that passage from 1 Corinthians 13 again. It tells us just what Jesus is like. But is it a good description of you? Is it a good description of me? Could I possibly say, Graham is patient? Graham is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Graham does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I don't know about you, but I have to say that the best I can manage is that I wish that was an accurate description of me, but it's not. I might try to cover up the worst of my sins from other people, but I can't hide them from myself and I can't hide them from God. So how could God put up with me when I fall so far short of the ideal that I see in Jesus? The amazing thing is that even though I fall so far short of the glory of God, he still loves me. He loves me enough to give his son to die for me. In Romans 5, Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. That's why the coming of Jesus was the coming of love. Despite all that I had done to reject his love, he still loved me enough to die for me. So the coming of Jesus was the coming of love because it meant that God showed us what he's like, God identified with us in our pain and suffering, and God dealt with our sin. Really, really, love did come down at Christmas. In this broken world, there will still be things which spoil our experience of God's love, but when Jesus comes again, that will be the coming of love in its ultimate and absolute sense. So there's two names which the baby was given highlight for us the amazing love which God poured out on us in Jesus. But this passage also hints at how we need to respond to that. Two more words for you to work out. Sorry? Oh, excellent. Last one. It's a good try. Obey. When Joseph woke up, He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Joseph's response was obedience. And surely, if you think about it, that has to be right. If you know that someone loves you so much, you'll trust what they say, won't you? And you'll do what they say. Because you will know that they will always want what is best for you. That wasn't easy for Joseph, but he did it. Because if God loves us enough to reveal himself to us and to enter the depths of our suffering and to deal with our sin, surely we can trust every word he says. Surely we can obey him even when we don't understand what he says, because we know that he loves us so much. And in a way, our obedience is a kind of marker of whether we've really ever received that love. You see, if you read God's word and it tells you to do something challenging or costly and you decide, no, I don't like the sound of that, you're actually doubting God's love. You're thinking that he doesn't want the best for you. You're thinking that you know better than him what's right for you. You're thinking that he doesn't in all things work for the good of those who love him. When you know the love that God has for you, then whatever he tells you in his word, you're going to say, yes, I trust that. I'm going to do that because I know that he's told me that because he loves me. You can know, see, this is part of the problem. You can know about the love of God revealed in Jesus. But what really matters is knowing that love for yourself. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Love really did come down at Christmas. The coming of Jesus was in a sense the ultimate act of love. But it will only really make a difference to you when Jesus has come into your heart. Knowing about that love doesn't make the difference. Knowing that love makes the difference. And it's only when Jesus has come into your heart, when you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that you will know personally and deeply that the coming of Jesus really was and is the coming of love.